Hello everyone, welcome back to It's a Wonderful Podcast, the main show itself, episode 164. Ooh, we're so very excited today. We're always excited. We are always excited, Nolan, aren't we?
I'm excited about Rosa's turn, which is great for some people, but not me. That should tell you what movie we're talking about right now.
Well, it might do, but then again, it might not, Nolan, because perhaps people are unaware of such the movie we are talking today, because that is what we like to do on the main show here on It's a Wonderful Podcast. We like to give love to those wonderful older movies that may sometimes go slightly a little bit under the radar of most people. Not everybody. There'll be some people shouting now saying, what? This movie you're talking about today is a big movie, a big name movie. Look at the people that are in this movie. Look who directed this movie. It comes from a big Broadway musical. We are talking about another musical, of course, today. But then, of course, there are some people who this will be a discovery of, which is another aspect that we love to bring in to our discussions here on the main show, a discovery of old movies, because that's always nice to do. It's nice to learn new things. That's what I think. Don't know about you. Do you agree?
Yes, it's always nice to learn new things. Keep that brain going. However, I've known about Gypsy since I was a teenager.
Oh,
and we should clarify, this musical and this musical's title has nothing to do with the slur for a certain type of people. It's just a stage name for one of the characters. We should just get that out of the way quickly.
Absolutely nothing to do with the traveling community.
No, because I knew about Gypsy from watching Glee as a kid, because it was always. Have you watched Glee? I know you don't like it, but have you watched like a decent amount of it?
Not a decent amount of it, no.
Have you watched a clip on Twitter?
More than that. I have watched multiple episodes.
Are you aware of the character Kurt Hummel?
Not by name, no.
The extremely gay guy?
Yes, by reputation.
Yes. He covered two songs from this, and they were usually his big showstopper numbers. It was Some People, and it was Rose's Turn. And I, young me, thought for like 10 years, these are bangers. I'll watch the movie that they're from later. And here we are.
Here we are. Here we are.
I mean, whilst we're getting hyped for In the Heights to come out, we're getting onto a bit of a musical kick. We've got Dear Evan Hansen coming out this year as well. And we've got the remake of West Side Story. It's the most musicals we've had in 1 year, as far as I know, so why not get in a bit of a musical mood? Dear Evan Hansen, by the way, you should watch. It's a slightly newer musical, but I watched that the other day. I think you would like Dear Evan Hansen.
Is it about a person called Evan?
Yes.
Are they writing him a letter?
There is a letter involved, yes.
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory from the title that there would be a letter involved. Is it fun? The fact you have to think about that means that Morgan doesn't want to watch. Morgan only likes fun things.
I mean, it is and it isn't. It's about a teen suicide.
Is it like Heathers? Because I've recently watched Heathers and that was fun, but also about teen suicides.
It's not as controversial as Heathers, though some people might disagree with me, but it does have some really good songs in it.
Do people think Heathers is controversial? Me and Janine had this discussion, Nolan. Heathers should not be controversial. Heathers is too clever to be controversial.
I think in the time it came out, people thought it was controversial, but now you look back on it like a cool cult classic.
Okay, well, if you would like to.
And to bring it back to the topic, Heathers also has a musical adaptation, which I did watch the other day and did not like.
There you go.
I feel adding upbeat poppy music to something like Heathers, which is known for being very cynical, is not the best mix.
You shouldn't do that. No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. But there is an episode of Morgan Hasn't Seen on Heathers, if anybody would like to you know, go and check that out after this one. And if they haven't already, of course. But we are talking today about Gypsy from 1962, based on
Joan Crawford's life.
Life, and not, it's got nothing to do with Joan Crawford. We're gonna have a falling out again, Nolan. Joan Crawford's not even in the movie. Joan Crawford has nothing to do with this movie, Nolan. Wait.
I can see
you waiting to retort at me about Joan Crawford again.
I have some kind of thing against stage mothers. They creep me out.
Which is understandable, especially after watching Gypsy, I think, Nolan. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to parade our Joan Crawford hate on everything again, like you seem to enjoy doing for some reason. But we are talking about 1962's Gypsy today, directed by Mervyn LeRoy, a prolific director. I like Mervyn LeRoy as a director. I do. It was one of his later movies, actually. I think he only made about two movies after Gypsy, in his decades-long directorial career. But I like Mervyn LeRoy. It is Natalie Wood, Rosalind Russell, the biggest nose in the business, Carl Malden, who is basically literally just a nose on a body. You know, like one of those cartoon characters, Nolan, where it's just a face but with arms sticking out the side of the face and then legs sticking out of the bottom of the face, and the whole body's a face. Carl Malden's that, but just a nose. He's just arms and legs.
Like an M&M. He's like an M&M in those commercials.
Yes, like an anthropomorphic M&M, but he's just a nose. That's how I view Carl Malden. I've never seen anybody with a bigger nose, and I love him for it. When we were talking about Streetcar Named Desire, it was all I could talk about when it came to Carl Malden. He's great in that movie. He won a Best Supporting Actor Oscar for Streetcar Named Desire. But I look at Carl Malden, and obviously my horrible, horrible mind goes, my God, your nose is huge. And of course it happened while watching Gypsy again. But it is based on the life of a very famous burlesque performer, Nolan, Gypsy Rose Lee. Are you into burlesque?
Not into performing it. I mean, I can't really rock that. I can appreciate it as an art form.
You tell me you've never performed burlesque, Nolan. I find this deeply confusing.
I've not performed burlesque. I've not performed drag either. Because I'm queer doesn't mean I perform these things.
I didn't necessarily mean that. I just thought, you know, maybe you in some sort of drunken stupor somewhere.
I mean, I probably wouldn't have remembered it if it was a drunken stupor.
Got on a stage and started seductively stripping.
I mean, that's just a regular Tuesday night.
See? So you have.
Yeah, but we didn't call it burlesque. We called it like an abomination to anyone who watched it.
Well, I suppose depending on who is performing the burlesque, it can be.
I had to pay for several trauma counselling fees after it.
Yeah. For yourself or for other people?
Let's just say that my grandmother will never recover.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. I want to know. You've already obviously said you have been familiar with this movie. Or at least this musical,
the songs
for several years. But what did you think about this movie then? Aside from the fact that it is basically, you know, 2.25 hours of stage mothers are terrible. What else about this movie?
I think the movie's pretty breezy. It knows what it is. Its storytelling is simple. The music's really good. The acting is phenomenal, specifically from Natalie Wood and Rosalind Russell.
Yeah.
I don't know how you felt about the child performer, but anytime she came on stage, she kind of creeped me out.
Oh, the Dainty June?
Yeah, she reminded me of the little girl from The Bad Seed. But if she was a performer.
I get that. But also, I think we have to remember that the girl from The Bad Seed, who I forget the name of now, is a really good actor in that movie.
Is her name not like Patty McCormack or something?
There you go. Well done, Nolan. Patty McCormack in The Bad Seed. He's really good in The Bad Seed. I didn't mind the girl who played Dainty June, to be fair.
When I see child performers who are like that into performing, it creeps me out because I know that's likely them being forced into it. It feels strange. It's why I don't like beauty pageants for kids.
Well, no, I think, yes, okay, that's fair enough. When it comes to beauty pageants for children and that sort of stuff, it's very creepy, it's very weird. I do agree on that front. And I agree that the act of forcing children into performance is questionable as well. And we obviously see a lot of that in this movie, all from Rosalind Russell, who plays Gypsy Rose Lee's mother. Gypsy Rose Lee, obviously, her real name was Louise. And which is weird, actually, the fact that her mother's name is Rose and her very famous stage name incorporates the name Rose. So perhaps there was a slight bit of mutual understanding there between her and her mother.
Or reclaiming an identity, something like that.
Or perhaps there was that. Or perhaps it was that. Although if we are to believe the movie, it seems to be more a case of mother, I understand all the, you know, I understand your feelings. I do not like that you put us through all this nonsense. You need to let go of us. We are no longer children. We are grown women. And please let us live our lives. But also, I understand that you are a human being with feelings. It's more like that. I appreciated that to a certain extent about the movie, is because for 2 hours you are basically bombarded with Rosalind Russell being the worst kind of stage mum possible. And I really liked Rosalind Russell doing that, because I'm personally so used to seeing Rosalind Russell play very funny characters, because I think she's a great comedic actor as well. This is a really impressive dramatic turn from Rosalind Russell that, you know, before seeing this movie, I wasn't necessarily aware she could do, but it certainly elevated respect that I already had for Rosalind Russell in droves anyway, but certainly elevated that even more so. So I've got to give it credit for that.
You know who she reminds me of, like, modern day now?
Who?
Imelda Staunton.
Okay, Dolores Umbridge.
Yeah, the actress who plays that, like, she's a very funny comedic actress, but she can also play these sort of roles with a little bit of bitterness to them. And I mean, she does do a lot of comedy stuff, like, outside of that. And I believe in the current revival of Gypsy, or it could have been like a made-for-TV movie of it, I believe she played the same role.
Ooh, okay. Okay. I'll have to look into that.
I was also going to say Helen Mirren, because also, like, very funny, very charismatic, and could probably play a role like this.
True.
I don't know if Helen Mirren can sing, though.
Well, Rosalind Russell, it wasn't Rosalind Russell's voice used. I think it might have been.
That's a thing in, like, old movie musicals, isn't it? The singing voice is always different than the actor.
Not always, but a lot of the time, it was, and a lot of the time in very notable musicals, it was Marnie Nixon who did it kind of most famously, I would probably say, in My Fair Lady, when she was Audrey Hepburn's singing voice. In My Fair Lady. Yet they still allowed Rex Harrison, as Janine will no doubt, you know, get mad about when she tells you that they let Rex Harrison just talk his way through his songs in My Fair Lady, but Audrey Hepburn's actually pretty good singing apparently wasn't good enough, so they had to get Marnie Nixon in to do it instead.
I wish they would do that with James Corden now. And not just for his singing voice.
just for anything. Just replace James Corden.
Have his voice dubbed over by like Vinnie Jones or something.
I think it would still work, that though. No, I don't think it would be as funny as you think. I think Vinnie Jones's voice coming out of James Corden wouldn't look as weird as you think it would. I don't know, though. I don't know. That's an unusual thing.
It's a musical episode, so I have to get a jab in at James Corden.
Why not? Why not? No, there's not many people that really like James Corden these days, is there?
I don't think so.
That's not the point of this episode, though, is it, Nolan? The point of this episode is to show some celebration for this this wonderful movie. But certainly it gave me more of a deeper appreciation for Rosalind Russell. I don't know about you. Natalie Wood, this is going to be your big draw to it, surely.
I mean, Natalie Wood does incredible in West Side Story, which we all know I'm a huge fan of.
She's great
in this.
Natalie Wood in West Side Story. Singing voice dubbed by Marnie Nixon. There you go. There's another
one. There you go. Oh, acting-wise, she's great in this. Specifically, I mean, I'm sure everyone's going to be talking about that when they talk about this story, but the final scene where she finally tells her stage mom to fuck off and basically let her live her own life is some of the best acting I've ever seen from Natalie Wood.
It's very good. It's very good. The whole movie's been building up to that point, though, because it has just been, like I said before, it's 2 hours of Rosalind Russell being the most overbearing stage mum you've ever seen, ever. And you are waiting. You are waiting for Natalie Wood just to retort back at her for one big scene, and hey presto, Nolan, she does at the end of the movie, and it leaves us thoroughly satisfied. Thoroughly satisfied. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, really, because that is really what the movie's about. For a movie called Gypsy, about famous burlesque performer Gypsy Rose Lee, it is very much not about famous burlesque performer Gypsy Rose Lee.
No, it's kind of an origin story.
Yeah, it's way, way more about a mother's relationship with her children and how overbearing stage mothers can be a big issue, big problem. But also, I actually do think it doesn't apologize for, you know, Rosalind Russell, for Rose's, the mother's actions, but it humanizes her a great amount, when I think it would have been easier to paint her as a total, total villain. But it does, or at least it does for me, give some sympathy to Rose. I could understand why she is the way she is. I can understand how she's come to be that way. And because it's got to be painful for a particularly doting mother to watch her children love what they do, sure, but then want to become more independent and believe, you know, they don't require her anymore. Now, obviously, this is a mother-daughter story. Nolan, we are neither mothers nor daughters.
So, not to my knowledge.
We don't necessarily have that identifying factor there, but it's still interesting to look at anyway, because I think we can recognize that the whole movie is basically about the young birds flying the nest and the mother being like, don't do it, you can't do it. And sometimes it gets a bit shouty, and sometimes it gets a bit violent and calling people names, and the Rosie's getting banned from backstage because she causes too much drama and all that business. But by the end, I do actually think, even with that final scene being I'm going to live my life as I want to now, mother, don't try and stop me, it's happening, thank you, but goodbye. I think that's almost what it is. It's thank you for your love that you've shown me, but now is time to realize that things have changed, because that's very important as well, especially, you know, to this movie, growth. And it's almost a coming of age movie at times, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with Rosalind Russell's character, you almost see, like, I definitely feel her character is like, I want my daughters to do this because I never made it at their age. Yeah. And that's kind of what the whole Rose's Turn song at the end, I feel that's kind of summarizing as well.
Yeah.
It's like she feels like, oh, I've managed to get essentially what I wanted, but it's not exactly how I wanted it. And now I'm sort of looking back on my life thinking, I should have spent all this time working on me, but now I'm just going to, like, you know, focus on myself. My daughter's ready. She can go do whatever she wants. Maybe I can do that for myself now as an older starlet. At least that's how I take the ending.
Yeah, I mean, have you come across this in real life? Obviously, parents living vicariously through their children in this way that she very much is doing in this movie. You find it a lot in sports.
I've not come across it, no. My parents are pretty much open with me being an author. They just don't really know fuck all about it. So,
well, no, this is good. I mean, if it's to do with your own parents, sure, but I mean, have you observed it from others?
I mean, definitely in sports, like, you know, the mums that get way too excited at football games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the dads who try and be the coach for the football game, and it, like, completely fucks the relationship up.
Exactly. It's exactly that kind of thing. Because you see it all the time. I have grown up in, you know, amateur football. I've pretty much always been around some level of amateur football, whether it's just as a player actually working for a club, or, you know, being my family being involved in that. So I have just been, you know, a spectator. But you see it all the damn time. All of the time is usually fathers, to be fair, when it comes to, you know, in my particular experiences, being quite horrible to their own children because they weren't very good as a football player, and they want their child to do what they could never do. And it can be dangerous. I really do think it can be a dangerous way of thinking to try and live vicariously through your child. It can give really unnecessary pressure to small children who don't need that kind of stuff. I mean, nobody needs that kind of pressure anyway, but certainly small children don't need that kind of pressure. It's exactly what we see in this movie, and it's all over sports. It's definitely all over sports. And it's a horrible thing to witness when you actually see it firsthand. Thankfully, I personally have never had that with my own parents. And, you know, like you said, you haven't either, which is good. This is always better. This promotes better relationship with one's parents, which is a good thing. But it's an unpleasant thing to witness. So I guess it's a different form of it in this movie, being the fact that it's mother and daughter based and based in the theatre, not in some sort of sporting field.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like an all round relatable performance. I mean, even beyond just like sports and everything, you get that a lot with parents who maybe are pushing their kids to study a bit more in school but you notice those parents actually never went to university.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be similar like that. It really can be. I've been thinking about this actually since you mentioned before about the child acting of the girl who played Dainty June. I've just been thinking, maybe Nolan, we just need to have you watch some musical starring children, perhaps one particular musical that stars only children and is called Bugsy Malone.
I mean, I was in Bugsy Malone, so
yes, but maybe we should just have you watch Bugsy Malone, Nolan, to appreciate children in musicals and the quality of them.
Okay.
Because they're very good. And Bugsy Malone is like my favorite movie ever. Or one of. As people know.
I was going to say, I thought it was Oliver.
Which is another one of my favorite movies ever. Do you know what? It's so funny how several of my favorite movies ever are musicals. I just think there's something inherently likable about a musical, Nolan.
And you don't, as far as I know, you don't have any musical training.
Not majorly, no. I played the trombone for a few years.
You have a guitar in your man cave. Did you ever play that?
I certainly do not play the guitar.
Are you that guy who shows up at the party every time with a guitar?
No. I wouldn't even know where to begin trying to play the... Well, I would. I'd just kind of get the little guitar pick and just pluck the guitar strings, but it wouldn't make a nice noise because I don't know how to play the guitar.
Yeah, I actually do know how to play the guitar. I'm showing you some chord progressions now.
It doesn't mean anything to me though, that.
Yeah, these have just been ingrained in me.
You can do that all you want. It means absolutely diddly squat to me. I'm afraid.
Next time I come visit you, I'm giving you guitar lessons.
Okay, then. Okay.
If you know three chords, you can pretty much play any popular song.
I won't know them, though. This is the problem. I'm not going to be able to play the guitar. I know my own capabilities. I'm perfectly aware of my own capabilities.
What about the drums? Let your anger out in rhythm.
No. Do I look like I've got the energy for the drums?
Bass?
No. We're not going through musical instruments and deciding which one I should play. We're not doing that.
The triangle.
I'll play the triangle. I will do that. I will happily play the triangle. That's it, though. I'm not doing anything else. I'll get up on that vaudeville stage.
The tambourine.
Rosalind Russell can have me play the triangle to end the...
Or as you call it, thing. The Timothy Chalamet.
Very much so. Very much so. Playing the Chalamet, it's known as. you just get Timothy Chalamet and a little stick, a little metal stick, and you just hit Timothy Chalamet on his nose, and it makes a ding noise because... He's
which then turns into the opening notes of Pure Imagination, since he's playing Willy Wonka,
which upsets me. But we'll get on to that at a different time. I'm not particularly into that news, to be honest, Nolan.
I think it should have been Justice Smith, but we'll get back onto that. Since I brought up musical numbers,
yes,
you got any favorite songs from this? First, because some this, people is definitely one of mine.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is that. It probably is that, to be honest.
Is that because you also live life in the living room?
Yes. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't really like the actual performance songs.
You mean like the "Let Us Entertain You" stuff?
Yeah,
that gave me flashbacks of that horrible Robbie Williams song.
Oh God, we're not thinking about that.
That plays at every kid's birthday party in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, we're not doing that. We're not doing that one. Let Us Entertain. Yeah, no. That one was a little bit annoying. Yeah, I mean,
although I do appreciate the character arc stuff of that song, because it starts from like "Let Us Entertain You" and then it's "Let Me Entertain You," so it's a nice little progression thing with the character.
Oh, very early on in this movie, Nolan, we are treated to the fact that Louise, who turns into Gypsy Rose Lee, has absolutely no talent whatsoever, and she ends up being the front half of a cow on the stage, and it's all down to Dainty June, who apparently is the absolute star, but then she runs off and marries one of the boys in the chorus.
Dainty June.
It's a chorus.
Dainty June definitely went the way of Lindsay Lohan. I can just
feel it. We
don't
know. We don't know, unfortunately. I mean, I'm sure if we actually read Gypsy Rose Lee's book, we may know what happened to her sister.
Just the name Dainty June just creeps me out.
It's a stage name, Nolan.
It's creepy.
It's supposed to be a little bit, you know, sweeter than sweet, because she's like, what, 4'8" and acts like a 3-year-old when she's like 15.
So
it's one of those type of performances. Have you never come across? I mean, it's to be honest,
I prefer to avoid those kind of performances.
Well, that's a fair point, because it is one of the things that truly creeps me out the most is adults dressed as babies.
Oh God,
it really is. It is one of the absolute creepiest things. Is one of the only things I'm actually truly scared of. Like, you could show me anything from any horror movie and I'd be like, yeah, sure, that's, you know, I mean, the idea of it, the thought behind it, you know, murder and all that kind of stuff is scary, sure.
So basically that toy in Toy Story 3 creeps you out. The giant baby toy.
No, because it's not an adult dressed as a baby. There's not babies. Babies are fine. Babies are fine. It's when adults are dressed as them. You know what I mean? With the oversized bonnet and the oversized nappy or diaper, you know, and it's just making baby noises when they're clearly 47 years old.
I didn't think we'd be unearthing some trauma from you.
It is. It's a serious. I don't know why it's so traumatic for
basically me, but we will never see Morgan working in a nursery.
I've just said there's nothing wrong with babies themselves. I don't mind babies are acting like babies when they are babies. But people should not be acting like babies when they are middle-aged, which is my problem.
Unlike Dainty June, who... Unlike when she is young, acts like she is some 25-year-old, 20-something LA starlet, which is somehow even creepier to me.
Ah, so young people acting too old is creepier for you, whereas it's me, it's the other way around.
It's because of what I know about show business. Because I know...
I see.
It's because I know, like... Okay, so this is going to sound really weird, but do you remember that episode of The Suite Life of Zack and Cody where there was a beauty pageant in the hotel?
Not necessarily, but please go ahead.
But there was that male host of the beauty pageant who was like 40 acting all really excited about the kids' beauty pageant, and that guy just creeps the fuck out of me. I am convinced he is, after that episode, he is not on the talent scouting list. He is on some kind of sex offender list.
This reminds me of a particular episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think it's called Frank's Little Beauties.
Oh,
where
God.
Frank Reynolds, Danny DeVito, hosts a children's beauty contest. And for the entire show, he's insisting too much that he's not there to touch all the kids. That's not what he's there to do. I'm absolutely not here to be weird with all your children. But he's saying it obviously too much. It's hilarious. That's what that reminds me of. Beauty pageants are a different animal, Nolan. They're completely different animal to simple stage performance.
I think kids' beauty pageants should be outlawed. There's my controversial topic for the day.
I don't disagree with you. I actually don't disagree with you.
It teaches kids self-esteem issues way too young. It fucks them up mentally for life.
It's not the same as simple stage performing, because I think it's fair to say, Nolan, that Louise and June, she's not even called June, is she? What's her name?
I don't know.
What's
probably
Louise's
like
sister? What's the other sister called?
I don't know. Can we just call her the other sister? Because that's what she is.
Louise,
she's there
Dane
to do a couple
June.
Numbers.
They actually enjoy show business. I think that's a fair thing to say. They actually enjoy.
Yeah, because they're caught up in like the glamour and the fame side of it, but they're not considering all the other sides to it. Can you tell I'm bringing a lot of like what I feel about this movie? Just about show business.
Yes, but I think that's what it's for. You know, I don't think there's anything overly. There's nothing overly kind of layered to this movie, really. It's a very, very simple, very, very simple message in it, which is obviously this kind of independence message of and don't be a pushy parent kind of message, sure. Filled with kind of glorious looking sets, lovely musical numbers, and really good performances, but it's not the most, you know, detailed, layered musical you've ever seen. It's perfectly, perfectly enjoyable. But it doesn't kind of bode well for deep, deep discussion like some other musicals do, I don't think. Even though everything about it is very, very good. I just don't think it's got that quality to it. But certainly what you can talk at reasonable length about to do with it is its mirroring of the real life elements in it, because it's obviously it comes from Gypsy Rose Lee's memoir. And yes, it is perfectly acceptable for you to have these thoughts about show business that you do have after watching such a movie. I mean, I don't know how. Do you feel like, you know, Rosalind Russell shouldn't have pushed the children into show business at all, despite the fact it was successful for them?
I mean, yes, if this was real life, but this is also fiction and it's a story, so I get why it has to happen.
Well, it's not, though, is it? Because it's based on a memoir. So all this stuff, to an extent, happened.
Also, it was a different time back then. Who knows? I know if I was younger and if I was in their position, I probably would have got caught up in the glitz and glamour too. But I'm looking at this from the point of view of a 25-year-old.
Do we think then that
in the post-Weinstein era?
Oh, well, yes. I mean, I suppose we have to look past that a little bit. I'd like to think we can at some point. Do we then think that Herbie, Carl Malden, the great nose himself, who I do like, by the way, I'm not just calling his nose, he has got a very, very big nose, but I really do like Carl Malden. Do we think that wonderful, lovely, likeable Herbie, who, for some reason that I'm not necessarily quite sure, really wants to marry Rose, you know, Rosalind Russell. I mean, I don't know why necessarily.
I think he's also kind of wanting a bit of that fame life.
He is, but do we think that his attitude towards getting the children into show business is a little bit more reasonable?
Remind me what his reason was.
No, well, he's just kind of, he's got the same passion for it. He's just way less pushy about it and way less demanding of everything. He's just a softer guy.
So he's like more of the, if you were to put it into nowadays terms, he'd be more of like the director who like really encourages you to bring your own self to it, not just be like some performing circus monkey doing the same thing.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then yeah, that's the kind of approach that I would take with doing art.
That's, you know, that's what I got from him. And this is the kind of, I suppose it's the kind of character that Carl Malden can play very well, which is also weird, actually, because it also reminded me something very similar from Mitch in A Streetcar Named Desire, Carl Malden, because in both these movies, or in both those movies, he seems to like be really into, he's got an Oedipal thing. He's like really into mothers. There's several lines in this movie, in Gypsy, where Carl Malden seems way more into Rose, into Rosalind Russell, when she's being more maternal and motherly.
Maybe it's a mommy issues thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily this with Carl Malden. I just think he might be good at playing this kind of character because it's similar to his Mitch in A Streetcar Named Desire, or it's similar to Mitch in A Streetcar Named Desire anyway, in that there's some sort of weird Oedipal thing going on where there's a little bit too much interest in somebody being maternal and it causing a romantic feeling.
Uh-huh.
But maybe just Carl Malden's good at playing it. I'd like to think it's just Carl Malden good at playing it. I really liked him in this movie anyway.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. He's one of the highlights.
He is. He's just sweet. He's nice. He lights up the screen. His big face and his big nose. Sorry, I'll stop talking about Carl Malden's nose now. It's getting insulting.
Well, I know this is based off like a real life memoir and everything, but I'm wondering, could you take the story of this musical and modernize it to show what like stage mothering now would be like nowadays?
Well, you could certainly, you know, make a stage mom kind of musical.
I'm picturing that like Rosalind Russell's character pushing her girls to be on TikTok.
Well, you could do it anyway, couldn't you? Yeah, you could do it in anything. It could be very, I mean, I don't think it wouldn't necessarily have to be a musical. I'm just trying to think, actually. How has there not been a movie? Surely there has been a movie that has been a parent pushing a child to be an online star. Surely there's been a movie about that. Has there not? If there hasn't, why? That seems like a gold mine. I mean, maybe not a gold mine in terms of box office, but a gold mine in terms of potential quality.
I would see that.
It's a good thought. Are you thinking that? Is that what you, the kind of angle you're trying to think?
Yeah, but I don't know if you could do that since it is based off a memoir and it's not just a fictional story.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, you couldn't just completely take this exact story and do it again without...
But, like, every musical is getting a new adaptation nowadays. Like, Guys and Dolls is getting a remake. Gypsy's probably getting a remake. Wicked's finally getting the big screen treatment. I'm just like, would it be worth considering like revisiting some of these old musicals and like updating them a little bit.
But do we not lose the certain charm that old musicals have, Nolan? Do we not lose the Technicolor and the Technorama, which I'm fairly sure was a thing that was in the opening credits of this movie, Technorama, which I admit I don't think I've ever come across before, and I was wondering what the hell that was, because there's so many different types of that. My favorite will always be VistaVision. That's will always be my favorite aspect of weird 50s film words is VistaVision. But do we not lose that? Do we not lose the look of them, the feel of them, the heightened glamour of the old Hollywood musical, Nolan?
Not necessarily when you have
them all.
Not necessarily when you have musicals like La La Land and In the Heights, which like call back to those things, but then they update the filmmaking. That's all I'm really talking about. Like, now that what we can do with filmmaking, we can make some of these like really extensive shots that they couldn't do back then. I mean, the bad thing is that you go the other way and it ends up like Cats.
Which is the fear, obviously.
Or does theater need some kind of modern revival? I don't know. Because I'm not sure theaters can get away with showing the same couple of shows every year. People are going to get bored.
Look, there's new things being created on the stage all the time. I'm sure of that.
But the only one I can think of is Dear Evan Hansen, and that was 5 years ago.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm not a stage expert, Nolan, but I'm sure there is. Maybe not massive, so everybody's aware of them. But, like, even how old's Hamilton now? That's still not that old. And that's That's the biggest musical for decades.
I thought Hamilton was a very recent thing. Like, I thought that only came out, like, in the 2010s. Was that based off an older show?
No. This is what I'm talking about, new stage musicals.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like actual original new stage musicals, which Hamilton's only, what, 3 or 4 years old, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
5 years old, maybe. I don't know exactly, but I would guess around those. And that is one of the biggest musicals for decades. And that's only very recent, so. And you know, that's obviously a very mainstream thing, but there's new musicals being produced for, you know, the West End and Broadway and everywhere else for all the time, I would imagine.
All the new stuff I'm seeing is just like musical adaptations of old movies, like Heather's getting a musical adaptation and stuff like that, which, why not? It's like, the fact that, I mean, I know that we love it, but the fact that a Shrek musical exists is a little bit weird to me.
Shrek's a musical anyway. I hold by that. Shrek is an actual musical anyway. You don't need a Shrek the musical when Shrek is a musical. So you can all shush. There is singing in Shrek.
Or do you want more stuff where it moves away from the traditional theater aspect and you do something like Sing Street, which is technically a musical, but not in the traditional sense.
I, lately, Nolan, have been so into old Hollywood musicals and their aesthetic. I mean, an aesthetic that does develop and does change and is different, but there is a certain indescribable element to an old Hollywood musical that just does not exist anymore. I don't know. I cannot properly describe it, but it's like, it's once you see it, you know, it's there. It's the exact same kind of slightly nonsense reasoning that I put on why I don't say, why I don't use the phrase classic movies, because it's too arbitrary. There's no distinct definition. And to me, in order for a movie to be considered a classic, it has to be a certain, It has to be of a certain age. Now, how old that is indistinct. It's completely random. It depends on the movie and how the feel of the movie, the indescribable aspect of it, which is why I don't use that word, because I can never justify it properly. But there is an indescribable heart and an indescribable factor to old Hollywood musicals that do not exist in the best musicals today. Even the ones that are most like old Hollywood musicals, like a La La Land, or a, you know, I can only assume In the Heights is going to be when everybody eventually sees that shortly. It's certainly a quality musical, but it's not, everything doesn't seem to just blend together beautifully in this mix of glamour and kind of otherworldly quality.
And It's a Wonderful, listeners, is why Morgan will never watch The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. I don't need that. It might be very well staged, it might be very well sung and choreographed and acted and all the rest of it. But there is a elevated, almost a classiness, which is a weird thing to say, because it doesn't necessarily have to be about glamorous people for an old Hollywood musical to have this indescribable grace to it. It's just got this, they just seem to have this otherworldly nature to them. And again, I'm being very vague about it, because I cannot describe what it is. I just know it when I see it. And this can be different for me. It can be, you know, to what's different for you, and what's different to Janine and everybody else. You know, Janine really doesn't like My Fair Lady now, because she can't get over the fact that Rex Harrison just, according to her, bumbles through the whole movie talking all the words. And they, you know, didn't let, he had to play this role, but it was okay for Julie Andrews to not play Eliza Doolittle on film, even though she'd played her on the stage. That was perfectly okay. How dare Rex Harrison speak all his lines of song in front of Julie Andrews? And to an extent, I understand that argument. It makes sense. It does seem a little silly. But the fact of the matter is, that's who the words were written for, and that's why they are done in that certain way. And I like My Fair Lady. But I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
I'm just enjoying your monologue.
I'm trying to not monologue too much. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I'm just...
On that note, would you consider Gypsy a classic?
Oh, see, I don't like to use the word.
I'm going to have to change how I start describing this show then. When my friends ask me, what do I do?
Well, not necessarily, because for you, It's a Wonderful podcast might be a classic movie podcast. For me, that's why I always, you know, this is why I always describe it as a show in which we show love to older movies. Because that is a fact. But what is a classic movie? People can think a classic movie is from 2013, which is absurd to me. It makes me feel ill.
In my eyes, a car has to be 25 years old to be considered a classic, so I just use that gap.
25? See, that even... 25 years old. 1996.
Yeah, I'm basically a classic now.
You think movies from 1996 are classics? They're nowhere near old enough.
I would consider Scream a classic.
No. Scream is a very, very good slasher movie that revitalized the genre. It's not old enough to be a classic. It's nowhere near old enough to be a classic. A classic horror movie is Frankenstein, Dracula, House on Haunted Hill. Those are classic horror movies. Not Scream.
I love the way you use this terminology. I just like winding you up with it.
Not even Halloween. Not even Halloween's not even old enough to be a classic. I actually think
if you don't call Jaws a classic, then I'm leaving the show.
Not old enough. I actually think it comes down to, it might actually come down to this, and I think we've just figured it out. The most obvious thing ever. We've barely talked about Gypsy, but you know what? I've had fun in this episode anyway. I always say It's a Wonderful Podcast. We talk about the movies that are before the early 70s. And, you know, early 70s being, yes, okay, we've done the odd movie from 1975 or 4 or even sometimes later, once or twice, sure. Exceptions to the rule. But what is the main shift in the late 60s, early 70s, in particularly, obviously, Hollywood movies, is the end of the studio system, the start of the American New Wave of directors having full control and the boom of independent movies. So really, maybe, I think a classic movie has to come from the studio system or before, which there wasn't really a before necessarily, unless you're counting experimental movies from the 1910s and before. But maybe that's just what I think a classic is. But then again, it doesn't have to be an American movie, does it? So this is why I don't use the term. And I just say older movies.
I love this. I love how we started talking about Gypsy and now we just spiraled into this. Into Morgan's head. People will remember this episode of It's a Wonderful Podcast as Morgan's monologue. This is going to be your Oscar moment.
Craziness can happen on It's a Wonderful Podcast, Nolan. It certainly can.
I should clarify, though, that I assume we both liked Gypsy.
Certainly did.
I would certainly see it on. I'd see it on stage if I got the chance. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The only musical I have seen on stage is The Sound of Music.
Oh, I'd love The Sound of Music on stage. I would just want to sing along. Were you singing along?
I mean, no, that wasn't really theatre etiquette, but I wanted to.
Oh, why not? Why can't you sing along? Surely it's loud enough that nobody would hear you.
Nah.
Surely I mean, whoever's playing Maria wouldn't mind if you sat there in the front row and started singing, do a deer, a female deer. Nobody would care. I don't think anybody would care.
Nah, and the only other stuff I've seen on stage is like horror plays like The Woman in Black and Misery and stuff like that.
Not musicals, then.
No. I really want to see the musical. I want to see Rocky Horror on stage, but I don't know if they stage it anymore.
I'd love to see Rocky Horror on stage. It'd be so good, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to get fully dressed up like everybody else.
I want to play Dr. Frankenfurter. That's like my dream role.
I think Dr. Frankenfurter would suit you very well. This is why I asked you before, Nolan, why had you never done burlesque dancing? Not that Frankenfurter necessarily does any burlesque, but, you know, you can see him.
I've always seen Frankenfurter as, like, drag.
Oh, Frankenfurter is distinctly drag. But you can certainly see Frankenfurter doing burlesque if he wanted
Definitely.
To. If he was feeling so inclined on whatever day it may be.
And I look forward to the future remake of Rocky Horror, where Frankenfurter is played by none other than either Tom Holland or Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Timothy Chalamet shouldn't be playing Frankenfurter. Timothy Chalamet should be playing the Richard O'Brien part, because he looked more like Richard O'Brien.
I was going to say the meatloaf part.
Not the meatloaf part. Timothy Chalamet doesn't look like meatloaf.
No, but he could play a rock star.
But he could also play Richard O'Brien's weird skeletal long haired. I forget his name. He's just Richard O'Brien. Riff Raff, there you go. That's who Timothy Chalamet could play. I don't think Rocky Horror would be a bad movie to actually talk about on this show.
Maybe
even though it's from the mid-70s.
Maybe a Halloween special.
Why not? We could do some singing then. Oh, yes.
Rocky Horror is the one musical where I know all the songs, like, off by heart.
I do like Rocky Horror. Next year I get to show my
little cousin Rocky Horror when she turns 12 years old. Her parents have decided that is the appropriate age for her to see Rocky Horror.
I think the appropriate age to see Rocky Horror is whenever one has eyes that work and ears that work. I think we should be ingrained with Rocky Horror from the day we are born.
I'm imagining what kind of person you would have turned out if it wasn't Oliver you watch with your grandfather, but it was Rocky Horror. You'd be like a fucking goth.
I don't know. I really don't know. I'd be something. I might be my own version of Frankenfurter. Who knows?
Is that something that the It's a Wonderful listeners want to see? Let us know in the reviews. Do we want to see Morgan play Dr. Frankenfurter? I definitely want to see that. I think that should be your Halloween costume this year.
No, I don't want to play Frankenfurter.
You can be Rocky, then.
Okay, no.
You have to be shirtless. That's even worse. Wearing golden shorts.
That's even worse. I'll be Charles Grey during the time warp dance, who just says it's just a step to the left or whatever he says. I forget what it was now. Why have I forgotten the words to the time warp? You know, Charles Grey, who's sat there with his whiteboard and his little pointy stick.
He's the criminologist.
It's just a jump to the left. That's all he does.
Oh, no, he's Dr. Scott, isn't he?
I don't know people's names, Nolan. I just know them as Charles Grey, Richard O'Brien. And I only know Frankenfurter because it's Frankenfurter. It's just Tim Curry, though. I don't know. We know this. I don't know characters' names. I know people who plays them.
Well, I'll tell you what. Next time they show Rocky Horror, like in a special screening or something, we should totally hit that shit up.
We should. I'll have all the songs in my head for weeks afterwards, like I often do when I think about Rocky Horror. Anyway, do we have anything else to say about Gypsy Nolan?
No, we do not. I think it's a great movie, some great bangers in there, a good little musical from the 60s.
Certainly is. And Mervyn LeRoy directing, of course. Prolific director that he is. We like that. Applause for Gypsy. Yay. Anything else we want to say at all, though?
Yes, not about Gypsy, but this is quite a sad thing, but also a happy thing. So our friends Tom and Kimber, they invited us to their wedding in Texas. We had been talking about, I think we'd have been we were there when they got engaged. We've been friends for like 4 or 5 years. And
probably 6 years now, isn't it?
Yeah, for the longest time, like, I looked forward to this, and because of COVID, unfortunately, we could not attend. They just got married, so we want to extend our biggest congratulations to them. Sadly, Kimber, you will have to wait a little bit longer to see me in a kilt, as she was demanding that I wear to the wedding, and I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have been allowed in if I did not show up wearing a kilt.
Now, I know that, obviously, Nolan, you wouldn't have been wearing anything under the kilt to adhere to true Scottish behaviour.
Is there any other way?
But also, I'm led to believe it was incredibly hot weather. and I want to know just how itchy the kilt would have been.
Oh my, okay. So imagine running around a track meet for an hour training and then deciding to have the most aggressive wank ever with your gym sock after watching it and getting athlete's foot around your junk area, which then spreads to your legs, and then someone puts itching powder on your underwear. That is what wearing a kilt in Texas heat would have been like. And that, Kimber, is what I would have suffered to make you happy.
Oh, well, yes, Nolan is quite right, of course. Massive congratulations to Tom and Kimber. They are glorious, wonderful, lovely people. I am particularly upset that I couldn't be there, as I was the one who was supposed to be officiating the ceremony. But that didn't happen. And somebody else did it. We don't even know who this somebody else, random person. Didn't even matter, this person.
I'm just going to pretend that it was the governor of Texas.
It possibly was. It wasn't. It definitely wasn't the governor of Texas.
Who's a popular Texan? Was it John Wayne?
John Wayne has been long dead. I don't even think John Wayne was from Texas.
Reanimating John Wayne's corpse and making him officiate a wedding between two queer people, that seems like something Kimber would do.
That would be quite a funny thing for John Wayne to do, actually. Yes, it was John Wayne. It was John Wayne. It was definitely John Wayne. The only way it could have been worse is, for John Wayne, of course, for John Wayne, is if one or both of the people in question were Native American. It's the only way it could possibly have been worse for John Wayne. Poor John Wayne and his very obvious.
The good news is
beliefs.
Well, I don't know about. I know Morgan's like rolling in Amazon stock because he works for them now. But I know that I will be getting funding from uni later this year, which is enough to pay for an overseas trip. So looks like it's getting possible that I'll be able to come and visit Tom, Kimber, Joe, and Ashley, all those crazy fuckers, sometime in the future, instead of working my way through a job that I fucking hate, scrimping, living paycheck to paycheck, wishing I could ram my head into the deep fat fryers because we should be using air fryers and Wetherspoons. That's how much I love you guys.
Don't put your head into deep fat fryers. Do not do that. Absolutely, do not.
They won't even pay for an extractor fan to be on in the kitchen during summer and COVID in a hot kitchen. Fuck Wetherspoons.
And on that bombshell, I think it is about time to say thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of It's a Wonderful Podcast. We have somewhat been talking about 1962's Gypsy with Rosalind Russell, Natalie Wood, and Carl Malden. We have also been talking about various other things, including personal nonsense beliefs on such things. Please do not take anything too overly seriously, because who has the energy for getting into arguments? I don't have no energy for that nonsense, thank you. But if you no one does It's a Wonderful Podcast. This show, the main show, of course, comes to you every Friday, but it is not the only show we have on this podcast feed. Machine Mondays is there every Monday with Janine talking all her schmodown things. Morgan Hasn't Seen is there every Wednesday with me and Janine, where she forces me to watch things that I have not seen. It's fairly straightforward. We're doing a dark teen comedies series at the minute. It's dark and about teenagers.
Donnie Darko.
We're not doing Donnie Darko.
It literally has dark in the title.
That is not a comedy, though, is it, Nolan?
Depends on your sense of humour.
It's not a comedy, Nolan. Donnie Darko is not a comedy. Anyway, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we have you covered here on the It's a Wonderful Podcast feed. You can check out the Patreon, patreon.com/It's a Wonderful One, if you want to support us over there. We would be most thankful for your glorious generosity. You can subscribe to the It's a Wonderful Podcast YouTube channel for the fun stuff we do on there as well. Find the shows, find the feed, of course, the It's a Wonderful Podcast feed, everywhere podcasts are found: Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Castbox, everywhere else. On Twitter at It's a Wonderful One. Find me on Twitter at The Purple Don with a 3 instead of the E in the, because 3 is, of course, the magic number. On Instagram at just The Purple Don. And all of Nolan's wonderful stuff is where?
At NolanDean27 on Twitter, at NolanDeanWriter on Instagram, and NolanDean on YouTube. I don't think I've been posting anything particularly outrageous on Twitter lately. Except if you are completely scared from my new skincare routine, where I am buying moisturizer and exfoliating scrub and a very nice lavender hand cream.
Oh, very nice. That sounds like something I would be interested in, Nolan. I like that. It's good to take care of yourself, basically. It is good to take care of yourself. There we go. This is where I'm going to say again, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of It's a Wonderful Podcast. I will say goodbye, thank you again, and ask Nolan to see us out.
You know, I don't have a joke about the Gypsy movie, but all I'm going to say is, Sir Tom and Kimber's wedding, I hate that I am going to miss out seeing you dressed as a vicar. Goodbye, guys.
I was certainly not going to be dressed as a vicar. Bye.